Hello, I hope you're having a lovely day today. It has been a while. This is my absolute favorite time of the year. Garden planting season is full on. It's the busiest time because not only am I still planting seeds, which takes a lot of time, but I'm also trying to keep up with what's already been planted and the weeding. And you know, you start in one area of weeding and then you are working your way around the garden. And by the time you're like halfway through around the garden, the area that you first started with is already growing weeds again. So I haven't made a video in a while and I actually have so many videos that I want to make. So yeah, we'll slowly get through them. I think my next video will be a homemakers chats video. They're just very fun, relaxed, chill videos. So I think that's gonna be my next video because I haven't done one in a very long time. But today, let's get to the point. Today's video is on embracing God's design for women. This is gonna be kind of like the intro video to the androgyny topic. I said in a recent video that I have tried recording this video twice now and they ended up being very, very, very long. And so I'm hoping to maybe divide it into pieces and, you know, just get to the point of this point. And then the next video will be a different point instead of opening the floodgates of androgyny and trying to fit it all in one very long video. So I don't know, do you guys like the longer videos or do you like shorter videos? I am trying to update our podcast. I haven't updated it in almost a year. So that's something I'm working on, is trying to edit the audio and put them into the podcast platform. So that way all of my old videos, which are more long form videos, can be listened to. But everything that Scott and I have ever done, and besides the past year of this channel, is all up on podcast, and I will link the Apple podcast below. Today's focus, I've talked a little bit about androgyny in past videos, in videos where I've talked about why I have made dresses or skirts, mainly dresses, the priority of my wardrobe. But today's gonna be more of like a world view topic. How do we see the world? And so I've been really inspired by Wendell Berry. I love reading Wendell Berry's essays. I love reading his stuff because it makes me want to put down the book and then go live my life, go beautify my property, go work on the things that are in front of me. And I just find what he says resonates so much with what my soul is craving. And that's probably another reason why I haven't been posting YouTube videos, because I've been enjoying living my life and applying myself to the things that are in front of me. But one of his essays, he wasn't talking about masculinity and femininity, but he was talking about God as creator versus God as ruler. And it made me think about leaving androgyny and embracing femininity, and how that thought of thinking of God as creator made me think, God, you are our designer. And in the beginning, you designed, you created man and you created woman. And you made us, you designed us uniquely different with a good purpose in mind. There is a reason God made man and God made woman. And you obviously made us to function differently. Otherwise, you wouldn't have made two different genders. You would have just made one gender. But because you made a man and a woman, you have made us to function in such unique and beautiful ways. Yet it seems like all of history, especially I feel recent history, but all of history, the enemy has tried to manipulate us to become a blended gender, to become one, instead of embracing our unique God-given design and function. There has been this blending, blurring of genders, trying to get men to function like women and women to function like men. And that is the definition of androgyny, at least the modern definition. If we look at dictionary.com, it says the state or quality of being ambiguous, unspecified, or blended in gender, the state of being neither solely masculine nor solely feminine. And I always like to look up old dictionary definitions. I collect old dictionaries, and I looked at either my late 1800s or early 1900s dictionary to see what androgyny was defined as back then, and it was defined as the actual state of having both male and female parts, and like plants, there are plants that have both male and female parts. And I find that very interesting because I think at that time there definitely was more of a separation of genders and gender roles, whereas today, obviously, the definition is the state of neither being solely masculine nor solely feminine, and we can clearly see that that is the popular worldview of today, is a blurring of genders. And I mean, even from the very beginning, it started with the serpent in the garden with Eve, when the serpent said to Eve, "Did God really say?" I talked about this in my first video of this series. If you haven't watched it, I recommend it. It's kind of the umbrella video. This is probably going to be a year-long series, honestly, because everything ties so closely together. And so the serpent said to Eve, "Did God really say?" He was trying to get Eve to think that God was withholding good from her. And I feel like we can see that that is the same exact thought that the enemy puts in our mind today, is, did God really say? And wants us to doubt God's design, God's purpose, God's creation for how he made us to function. And the irony is, when the serpent said that to Eve, Eve already had it all. She had access to everything, and the enemy was trying to get her to think she was missing out, that there was something better than that God was withholding from her. And I feel like that is the struggle with women today, is the lie of, did God really say for you to be a keeper of the home? Did God really say for you to prioritize loving your husband, loving your children? Because if the enemy can get us to believe that as women, what God has designed us for is lesser than, or not esteemed, or not something to aspire to, then we will spend our entire life trying to function in a way and trying to do something else in a way that God did not design us for. And you do see that today. You see many women forsaking the role of being a wife, a helper to their husband, and the role of mother to pursue their unique purpose calling that has nothing to do with being a wife or a mother. And actually, in fact, they resent their husband and they think their children are a burden. So there's that lie, but then there's also the lie for women who are living in their God-given design role of being a helper, a homemaker, a mother, and they're struggling with anxiousness because of the popular culture's lie of, that's all you're doing? Like, you're just at home, that's all you're doing? And then that causes anxiousness of, should I be doing more? Am I not doing enough? Is this not a good work? Should I be trying to make money? And then you have women struggling with guilt or depression or anxiety because they think they're not doing enough in their God-given role. Per Titus 2, if the older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands, love their children, be pure, self-controlled, kind, keepers at home, submissive to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. If that is what the older women are to teach the younger women, then that means that the older women are to have lived that, and then the younger women are to also be pursuing those things as our first priority. And as a popular culture, those things are like burdens. Those things are represented as things that will hold you back from a greater purpose. So then what is the result? What is the fruit of that? You then have women who are trying to function as men. And it has led us into a multitude of issues today. We are seeing the fruit of women trying to be men for the past century. And it's really interesting because I always think of this as a more modern problem, but I love reading old books. I like understanding history, and there's this book by Samuel Osgood. I can't remember, let's see, the name of it. It is called Home Views of American Life, and he wrote it in 1853. And there's a quote in it that I just feel captures this whole subject. And it's amazing to me that he wrote this in 1853, which meant that he was already seeing the trajectory of where women were going. And he was using his voice to try to say, stop, women, you're going the wrong way. You're leaving your God-intended design, nature, to try to be men. And so his quote is, no greater mistake can be made than that which would take woman from her sphere of dignity and power and make her the rival of man in pursuits which require his ruder nature and sterner will. Again, God made man and God made woman, and he made us uniquely different for unique roles and unique purposes to function differently. And when women are trying to be men, we lose out on God's intended purpose for women to begin with, and we see the fruit of that in our culture today. You see the breakdown of the home, you see the breakdown of marriages, the breakdown of children. And so the Bible is very clear about God's intended design for women, yet we think we know better than our creator and our designer, thinking that the Bible is, which is God's thoughts, the Bible is what God thinks, and we think that what is taught to us through the word is trying to hold us back or put us in boxes or oppress us or suppress us or put us in bondage. I mean, just a few days ago, I had someone say, you are living a life of bondage. And I was like, it's just so sad to me that you think that me being a woman, embracing my God-given design as woman, is bondage. I have felt more freedom being a homemaker and a helpmeet to my husband, being intentional with stewarding our place, figuring out how to make a space beautiful that hasn't been necessarily loved, figuring out how to grow our food. All of those things are so deeply meaningful and purposeful. It's not bondage, it's freedom, it's purpose-filled. And we've been lied to think that the work of a woman is bondage. But that's, again, the underlying message from the serpent from the very beginning. Did God really say? Satan wants us to doubt God and to doubt God's ways. And instead of thinking, oh, you're putting women in a box, you're putting women in positions that are lesser than, and instead, I think there needs to be this reframe or renewing of the mind of actually, this is limits. We all have limits. Man have limits, woman has limits. That's the problem with our society today, is we think we are limitless. That's why there's this consumerism raged. We think that there is no consequences to any of our actions, but God designed us with limits in mind, and those limits are good. They are guidelines, they're parameters for our good and for us to be able to thrive. Those limits aren't in place to keep good from us. Those limits are put in place for us to be able to thrive in our God-given design and nature. If you think about a creator, an inventor, if an inventor created something for a unique purpose, this is what this item or this thing was made for, and you went and took that thing and you used it for a purpose that was completely different from what the creator or designer's intended purpose for it, it's going to be a struggle because that's not what that thing was made for. And as women, that's what we've been led to believe, is that we can do anything. We were created to do anything. We can do anything and everything. There are no limits. But the truth is, limits are good. Have you ever seen a home with children where there are no limits? They are a mess. The children turn out to be a mess. They turn out to be troubled adults. Whereas a home where their children have limits, the children thrive and they're enjoyable kids. I am so grateful to have grown up in a home where there were limits and I had an incredible childhood. Yet there were other kids that I went to school with, friends, and both of the parents worked outside of the home. And so their kids were left to their own governance. And my one, I say friend, we were friendly. We did a lot of the same things together. And from all outer appearances, the family was wholesome, church-going family. And yet, because both the mom and the dad worked outside of the home, after school, she was left to do whatever she wanted. And one day, I remember she came into computer class and she told me and another girl that she had lost her virginity. We were 15 years old and I was shocked. I couldn't believe it because in my mind that was something that is only ever for my husband, and it just was just unthinkable to give that up. And again, another limit set by God for our good. But also, I thought, how does this happen without your parents knowing? Like, my parents knew where I was all the time. There was no ways that I could ever get away with that. There were limits that were for my good and for my protection, and there are fruit from those limits. When I got married, I had never slept with anyone. The only person I've ever slept with is my husband. But my friend, who was a church-going girl who had no limits, her parents didn't know where she went. This boy was older than her, so he could drive. They didn't know where she was, and so she ended up losing her virginity at 15 years old. I mean, that is just shocking and devastating to me. And this is a little bit of a tangent on a totally different topic, but it relates to this topic because when we are without limits, bad happens to us. Struggle happens, anxiety happens, and there's consequences to those things. And this translates into adulthood, women who think that there are no limits, that they can do whatever they want without consequences. You have women who think, my purpose is limitless. I can do whatever I want, wherever I want, whenever I want. No one can control me. And you know what? That mindset causes so much anxiousness because then they are in a place of trying to prove themselves of what can I do? If I'm limitless, then what? I could do anything, but then what am I supposed to do? And I have seen, now that I'm in my 30s, I have seen more women buy into this lie and they have left their husband and their children to pursue what they think is their great purpose. As if being a wife and being a mom is not good enough, it's actually holding them back from doing something greater than. And that is what the enemy has gotten mainstream popular culture to buy into and believe. Just recently, I saw someone share this famous podcaster, it was a clip from her, and in it, she said something to the effect of, your purpose in life is not to just be a wife. Your purpose in life is not to just be a mother. You were called for your great purpose. And as I'm listening to this, I can feel my cortisol spiking because I'm like, lady, you just told hundreds of thousands of women that being a wife and a mom is not enough. They're not doing enough, and they need to find a greater purpose and calling. Because those are the key words. Whenever I see just a wife, or just a mom, or just a homemaker, it's very clarifying to me. Now I know that your worldview is one of defying the limits that God has set for our best interest. You don't believe that being a wife and a mom and a homemaker is a good, valuable, meaningful, deeply purposeful calling. Otherwise, you would never use the word just. I had someone once email me and accuse me of making an idol of homemaking because I encourage women to just be at home instead of be out spreading the gospel. And I never responded to her, but I thought to myself, well, you and I have totally different worldviews, so there's no point in me engaging in this conversation because for me, it's not one or the other. The Bible is very clear. Titus 2 is crystal clear. We cannot be more clear than that. And I don't know what world you live in to think that a woman who is a wife, mom, and a homemaker cannot be out spreading the gospel by her life lived. And as a matter of fact, a well-ordered home is far more purposeful for sharing the gospel than most things in life. Because how many kids do we see growing up in broken homes that if only their parents made training them in the way that they should go was a priority, where would they be now? Because when you think about, you have complete control over what's happening within your household. We don't have control over what's happening in Africa. If you don't have any connection with Africa, if you're not from there, you have no control over it. You only have control over where you are, within your house, your neighbors, your local community. Praise the Lord, it is such a fulfilling thing. The choices that you make every day I love the Lisa Graham McMinn quote. I quote it all the time. She says, choices reflect values. The choices that we make every day reflect what we value. So how we interact with people at the store, how we show up for people, how we are raising our kids. The Bible's very clear. Raise your children in the way that they should go, and they will not depart from it. So there's no such thing as just a wife, or just a mom, or just a homemaker. There's plenty of scripture on it. Titus 2:3-5. There's Proverbs, which I've already quoted from. Proverbs 14:1, the wisest of women builds her home, but the foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. And then Psalm 127, children are an inheritance from the Lord, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. Praise God, children are a blessing. They are not a burden. There's this other old quote. I can't figure out what book it's from. I wish I would have wrote it down somewhere, but I read it and it stuck with me. But the man said, the state of the home reflects the state of the nation. And isn't that so true? The state of the home reflects the state of the nation. And because we can see so clearly that the home has been broken down, that reflects in the state of our nation. Because the family isn't a purpose or a priority anymore, the home inevitably breaks down. Marriage breaks down. Divorce rates are through the roof. All kinds of other problems, medications, all of the major problems with our world today that were just unforeseeable 100 years ago, yet Samuel Osgood clearly saw them because he said, no greater mistake can be made. No greater mistake can be made than that which would take a woman from her sphere of dignity and power and make her the rival of man in pursuits which require his ruder and sterner nature. We are living in that great mistake of women leaving their sphere of dignity to try and compete with men. And the practical outworking of that worldview is androgyny. And unfortunately, this androgynous worldview is even infiltrating Christian families, raising our sons and daughters as if they are the same. And that will probably be a topic for a future video. So I hope that this encourages you. One, because I just think it's so helpful to see the worldview from a big picture of, wow, this is what the popular culture believes. And then this is also the fruit of that belief system. And let's go back to God, our Creator's intended design and purpose for us. And when we embrace that role and purpose, there is an amazing freedom from the pressures, the guilt, the lies of society, because we know deep down that we are living out God's purpose, meaning, dignity for our lives. And how that is worked out is always going to be uniquely different for your context. So it's not putting a woman in a box. I think that's what's so shocking to me, because I'm like, have you seen Christian families who are living in their God-given purpose? Nobody's the same. Everyone's vision for their own household is going to be uniquely different. But at the same time, the priorities are the same. Being a helpmeet to our husband, whatever that looks like for your context, raising your children in the way that they should go, whatever that looks like in your context, for different ages, it's gonna look different, for how many children you have, it's gonna look different, for me, having no children, it's going to look different. How we work out these things is going to be uniquely different, but the priorities are the same. Are you keeping what Titus 2 says as a priority in your life? Because society says that that is not a good purpose and priority. Actually, that is a lesser than purpose and priority. And that is what I believe why we have so many women who are living in anxiety, is because they are trying to fit a square peg in a round hole and they're gonna struggle. So if you like this topic, I am more than happy for a future video to be on continuing with this and the topic of, are we raising our daughters and sons the same? I probably will do a video on it, but it's always helpful to know if this stuff is helpful or resonating. Then I'm not wasting my time making videos that no one likes. So I hope that this has been encouraging for you. It's good to be a wife. It's good to be a helper to our husbands. God bless you if you're a mother. You are doing a worthy work in secret. God sees you in secret and He will reward you openly. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. If you liked today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.